Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Jesus is referred to in Revelation chapter 5 as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, Judah was one of the sons of Jacob, right? One of the 12 tribes of Israel. Judah was the tribe from which the Messiah would come. So he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Once again, the emphasis on the Jewishness of all of this that is happening.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series titled, The Story of God. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11, through chapter 21, verse 7, in a message titled, The End and the Beginning. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
You know, Revelation is just one of those, I mean, it's a fascinating book, but even outside the church, even culturally, you know, people are like, "Whoa, Revelation!" And as we see stuff going on in the world, you know, a lot of times people would wonder, "Wow, you know, is this the Book of Revelation?" Or sometimes we hear terms like Armageddon, and of course, Armageddon comes from the Book of Revelation. But anyway, I was remembering when I think I was still a teenager, maybe, and at that time, in the area here in Orange County, there was quite a fervor for the end times events, and you know, the Jesus people thing was happening and all of that. And I remember deciding that I would read the Book of Revelation. Now, at this point I had not really even read the Bible. You know, I think I'd, you know, read a few verses here and there, perhaps, but everybody's reading the Book of Revelation. The Book of Revelation is being fulfilled, you know, right before our eyes, kind of a thing. That's what people were talking about. So I thought, okay, man, I'm going to read the Book of Revelation. And I read it. And the only thing I actually remember is that when I finished the book, I got so sick for the next 3 weeks. I had like some kind of a virus that I don't remember feeling that bad before that. And somehow in my superstitious mind at the time, I thought, oh, this happened because I read the Book of Revelation. I better not read that again because, you know, this is what happens to you. You get, I don't know, maybe I'm under a judgment or something then. But you know, just thinking back about the almost ubiquitous presence of Revelation within our cultural context. So here we go. Today, looking at this final book of the Bible, and this book is where we see the consummation of the age. We see the age that we're currently living in come to a conclusion. I've entitled the message, The End and the Beginning, because not only does the book of Revelation tell us about the end of the age, it also tells us about the beginning of the new age that is yet to come. But the consummation of the age is when everything that has been broken by sin will finally and completely be renewed and restored. So that's really what is happening as we look at the book of Revelation, and this restoration, this final restoration, will take place when Jesus Christ enters into the fullness of his glory. So that's what Revelation's about. So Revelation begins with these words, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him. So the word revelation, it means, as you would understand, it means to reveal. It comes from a Greek word, apokalypsis, which means to reveal, but the idea is to remove the veil. The idea is to take something out of obscurity and to bring it out into the open so it becomes clear. And so what Revelation is just that. It's bringing Jesus out finally into the open in the fullness of his glory. Now, of course, as we've been going through this journey through the scripture, we have understood that Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, he's veiled. He's veiled behind the symbolism. A quick example, in the book of Exodus, you have the story of the Passover, the first Passover, when the children of Israel are delivered from Egypt. And you have a Passover lamb that is slain, and the blood of that lamb is taken and put over the doorpost of the homes. And when the angel of death passes through the land, the house that had the blood on the doorpost was passed over. And that was a picture that pointed ahead to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. But it was veiled in the symbolism. And then even when we come to the New Testament and we come to the incarnation, which means God in the person of Jesus becoming a human being, even there is still a veiling of his glory behind the ordinariness of his humanity. So when Jesus was here on earth, it wasn't like you looked at Jesus and said, oh my gosh, that must be the Son of God. His glory was veiled. And just on rare occasions would little glimpses of it break forth. For example, when he would do various miraculous deeds. There were people that would witness the miracles and they would say, oh my goodness, God has visited us today. But there was one particular event, we call it the Transfiguration, where Jesus went up on a high mountain and he had a few of his disciples with him. And it says that he was glorified in their presence. And so for just a brief moment, the glory of Jesus as he truly is broke through. But apart from that, his glory was veiled within his humanity. So Revelation is now the total revealing of Christ in all of his glory. So the book of Revelation is primarily about Jesus. That's what we need to remember. It's not primarily about the Antichrist or the tribulation period or the judgment, although it contains those things. The primary focus of Revelation is on Jesus. And so when we walk away from the book of Revelation, we should walk away with a more profound understanding of Jesus than we had before. We should walk away with a greater appreciation for who Christ actually is. That is what the book of Revelation really does for us. And so we see in the book of Revelation that Jesus is not merely, as people would have seen him in his lifetime, as more of a prophet. We understand through the book of Revelation that he is actually the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is Yahweh, the God of Israel, and he is also the maker and the redeemer of the universe. So that's what we will take away from the book of Revelation. Now, it's a difficult task to try to sort of tackle the whole book at once. But we're going to do that today in the time that we have together. And so hopefully we'll walk away with the gist of it. But before we do that, I want you to imagine yourself living in the first century AD. So here you are, you're living in the context of the Roman world, and you have heard the gospel and you have come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You have received him as your personal Savior. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You have become a child of God. You are now a member of God's family. You're part of this beautiful new humanity that God is bringing into existence called the church. And this is all absolutely amazing. This is all wonderful. On a personal level, there couldn't be anything more glorious. But as you look around you, you see that the world is still a very dark place, and that evil is still very much a reality. The Caesars are as powerful as ever. Their empire is as corrupt as ever. The world is filled with exploitation, injustice, and oppression. And the church that you are now a part of is a minority of the mostly despised. So here you sit in the first century, and this is your reality. At this point in time, there is probably one of the original witnesses to the person of Jesus left living, and that would be John the Apostle. But John has been banished to the island of Patmos by the Roman authorities because of his testimony concerning the Word of God. And so you're having this, like I said, this wonderful reality that you are now a child of God, but the world is still as dark and bleak as it ever has been. And that original group that spread the gospel, those people that were with Jesus, there's only one of them alive, and he is banished to Patmos. But it's there in his banishment that he receives this revelation. It is there in this banishment that Jesus appears to John in a vision and reveals to him that one day he will come back in the fullness of his glory and he will make everything right. And that's what John then penned, because Jesus told him, write these things down and send them to the seven churches. Now, our scripture reading today is going to be from Revelation chapter 20. So if you would turn to Revelation 20 with me, we're going to read from verse 11 of chapter 20 through verse 7 of chapter 21. So this is John writing. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give the water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. So as I said, the end and the beginning. And so here in this passage that we read, we saw the end. We saw the final judgment that will come upon all of those who have resisted and rebelled against God and Christ and his rule. And then we saw the beginning of a whole new creation where God's presence is there among his people. And all of the things that we've known that are rooted back in sin, death, sorrow, pain, all of those things are forever done away with. So that's what the book is projecting us toward. And we'll get to that in a moment. But before we do that, what I want us to see first is that Revelation is the culmination of the whole of the biblical revelation. Now, I have been reading the book of Revelation for many, many years. I have taught the book of Revelation quite a few times over the years. And yet, it wasn't until maybe 10 years ago that I really saw Revelation in a way that I don't think I had previously seen it. And what I saw about 10 years ago was the fact that it is in Revelation that the whole biblical story converges. See, this is the amazing thing. So we've been looking at the story, right? The story of God. We started in the very beginning. And now here in Revelation, everything converges. In other words, it's like these are the final pieces of the puzzle. It all comes together in the book of Revelation. Now, of course, when we look back at the Old Testament, as I mentioned, we see Christ symbolically and so forth. We look at the New Testament and we see Jesus comes. He comes as a human being. He dies on the cross. He rises from the dead. He ascends back into heaven. The gospel goes out into the world. The apostles write the letters to the churches. We've been looking at all of this. And even though there are connections, say, in the writings of the apostles with things in the past, Revelation takes it to a new level. And here's what I mean by that. What I mean is that Israel, for example, although the ancient people of God, we've seen that. Although the people that Jesus came to and from, we've seen that. Although from Israel, the original messengers went out into the world from Jerusalem. Although that's all true, much of the story after Pentecost has to do with the ends of the earth. It has to do with the gospel going to the Gentile nations. And although Israel is referenced in various places in the New Testament, it is definitely no longer front and center. Jerusalem is no longer front and center. It's all sort of in the background until you get to the book of Revelation. And suddenly in the book of Revelation, Israel is reinserted into the story. It's in Revelation chapter 7 that we read about the 12 tribes of Israel. We read about 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel who are sealed by God during this time of judgment that Revelation is talking about. We read about these 144,000 who are protected by God during this time of judgment, just as their ancestors were protected back before they left Egypt when the judgment of God came. And so we see the full picture now beginning to emerge with Israel now, back in the picture. And it even says about this group, interestingly, it speaks of a song that they sing, and it is the song of Moses and the Lamb. If there's any doubt about, and you know, some people do dispute whether this is really referring to Israel in the sense of, you know, literal Jewish people, I think there are plenty of ways to answer it, but a good way to respond to it is just say, well, why are they singing the song of Moses? You don't find anybody in the epistles, which have a large focus on the Gentiles of the church, there's no references to singing songs of Moses, but they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. So we see Israel reinserted. We also see Jerusalem resurface in the book of Revelation as a significant center of God's work. Now, Jerusalem was the very significant center of God's work for centuries. And even after the death and resurrection of Jesus, before his ascension, he commissioned his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from heaven, and then the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So the trajectory is that things will start in Jerusalem, but they will go out to the ends of the earth. And that's what we find in the New Testament. That's what we find in the epistles. They are writing to churches that have been established far out from Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem, which was once a center, it fades into the background for much of the New Testament until we come to the book of Revelation. And then once again, Jerusalem becomes a center, and in a very interesting way. In Revelation chapter 11, we are told there about two witnesses that will come onto the world scene in the future. Two witnesses will come. They will disrupt the plan and purposes of this person that we commonly call the Antichrist. The book of Revelation never refers to him as the Antichrist, but refers to him as a beast. They will disrupt the activity of the beast, and as a result, they will be killed. And then this is what it says. It's so fascinating. They will be killed, and it says their dead bodies will lie in the public square of the city that is figuratively Sodom and Egypt. They're going to lie in the public square of a city that is figuratively Sodom and Egypt. Which city could that be? Well, it goes on to say, the place where our Lord was crucified.
Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is an unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-733. 6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Story of God series. Back to Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Brodersen.